Welcome back to the Biased Opinion Sports Pod. I'm here with PJ. We're talking NFL draft. We got the draft coming up in a couple days here on Thursday night. We've done a draft pod the last couple years. We have some of the greatest bust in sleeper predictions the national draft media's ever seen. So I'm looking forward to getting back into it, picking a couple busts out, picking a couple sleepers out. And we're going to go through an ESPN Plus mock draft for Matt Miller. He did a 7-round mock earlier today. So we're going to go through some of the picks, make some comments, make some analysis, and then, go from there. So, PJ, you can start us off.
Yeah, Matt Miller has Trayvon Walker, from the defensive end from Georgia, going number one to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I got to be honest, I had no idea who this guy was until like 2 days ago when I got Bleacher Report alerts that this guy was now the new betting favorite to be the number one overall pick. And I was looking at like a few mock drafts from like January and February, and this guy's going like the 15 to like 20 range. So I don't know how these guys just somehow randomly shoot up the board, but I also think it's a little bit of a bad sign. Because usually like the last couple of years, there's like a can't miss number one guy to go number one overall. Last year, they obviously got their quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, so it makes sense that they're going defense. And I guess Georgia did have a nasty defense this year, so all the players kind of did blend in the same. So I don't know like if this guy was that much better than any other guys in the defensive line, because they have like two other defensive linemen going in like the first or second round of the draft. So I think the Jags got a good player, but I don't think it'll be like a generational type player like a Bosa or someone like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that. I think it's a pretty bad sign when you're picking first overall and 2 days before the draft, the guy that was supposed to go 20th is suddenly favorite to be first overall, and he's not a QB or anything like that, making a crazy rise, or I don't know. Because like usually there's like a guy who's locked into the number one pick for an entire year, and but I will say I like the pick over Aiden Hutchinson, who we can talk about next. I mean, for me at least, I'm not gonna overthink it. If I'm the Jaguars, you have two good defensive ends at the top of the board. Their combine, athleticism, whatever you want to talk about. They were talking about ESPN this week. It looks they got the exact same combine number. Like, these guys are very similar size, everything. Similar production. One of them played in the SEC, got a sack in the national semifinal, a sack in the national championship, and Trayvon Walker, national champion. The other played at Michigan, goes to the national semifinal against Georgia. There's nowhere to be found. I'm taking the Georgia guy every time. So I don't like the Jaguars. I wish I could say they were doing something dumb, but I kind of agree with taking Trayvon Walker over Aiden Hutchinson personally.
Yeah, the Lions are taking Aiden Hutchinson number two probably, and I don't know. That franchise just has a bad history of draft picks, and they just seem cursed to me. Like, their last high pick was number three, was Jeff Okuda. Maybe they had somebody last year. I don't even know who they took last year. Oh, they took Penny last year. That was a good pick. That was like number seven, though. So this is the first time they've been in the top three since they picked Jeff Okuda, and that guy had like a terrible rookie year. Then he like tore his Achilles his second year. So I don't know. I don't have much faith in the Lions getting this right. And yeah, it seemed like Aiden Hutchinson was just a senior who padded his stats in the Big Ten. He didn't really do anything his first 3 years of school. And then all of a sudden just started blowing past Penn State and Michigan State right tackles.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Aiden Hutchinson, I mean, he got exposed by Georgia, I thought, and at the time people were like, oh wow, Hutchinson's overrated, he's only good in the Big Ten. But that kind of went away instantly. Nobody's saying that anymore. I feel like he wasn't Ohio State, their offensive line was horrible last year, and he had a good game against them and people went nuts. But I mean, everyone kind of realized that Ohio State's offensive line wasn't that good. They weren't that good in the trenches anyway. I'm not buying into Aiden Hutchinson all that much, especially since the Lions are taking him. I guess he's like a hometown guy. He'll really buy into the Motor City culture or something. I don't know. I'm not really buying into Hutchinson. I can't disagree with anything you've said so far, to be honest.
Yeah, and then moving on to the third pick, the Houston Texans. I didn't watch a whole lot of Houston Texans football last year, so I don't know what their biggest needs are. But they have the mock draft has them taking Derek Stingley Jr. from LSU. And I think he had like a really good freshman year when they won the national title, I think in 2019. But then the year after that was like a change of hangover year for the whole team. and it was like the COVID year. So he only played like 7 games. And I think last year, footballreference.com says he only played like 3 games. So I'm a little worried about him not playing a lot of games the last 2 years. And I wonder if that'll hurt his development moving forward. But he definitely has a lot of talent. He's like one of the highest rated recruits out of high school in his class, played in the SEC. So he's definitely battle tested in his freshman year. But I don't know. I don't like when guys barely play in the season right before they get drafted and then go so high.
Yeah, I think he kind of reminds me of like the Jadeveon Clowney thing when he was he had that crazy year, but he was too young to enter the drafts, and his year after that he like didn't exactly try too hard and just kind of screwing around and still went first overall. I mean, I remember when he was a freshman after the national championship, there was like Mel Kiper is going on TV and like, oh, this kid would be a top 10 pick if he entered the draft right now, and he's only 18. Like, so the talent's clearly there, and he's clearly a good player, and maybe there's some attitude issues or something like that, or he's selfish, I guess, because maybe he just didn't care as much when the entire team graduated and he had to stick around for 2 more years, and LSU kind of became a train wreck. But also, I don't know, for me, I feel like every corner in the league, all the good ones are kind of selfish anyway. So I think that's like a position where like if a guy has an attitude, it's almost a good thing sometimes. I don't know, like a me first type thing going on. But the thing, I don't think a corner is going to fix the Houston Texans. The issue, like, it's similar to like the Lions drafting Okuda 3rd overall a couple years ago, where it's like, Your team is so bad. Why are you drafting a cornerback? If he's the best corner in the league for the next 8 years, you're still going to suck. I don't know. I just don't think it makes enough big of an impact on them as a rebuilding franchise. I don't like drafting a corner 3rd overall when you, even though it's an important position, it just doesn't, it's not that turnaround pick. Like, I don't know. I think the Texans got to trade that or something, trade it back and try to fill out the roster. The Texans are horrible. They're a train wreck.
Yeah, and then moving on to the 4th pick of the top 10 in this mock draft. This is my favorite, Evan Neal, offensive tackle to Alabama, from Alabama to the Jets. I like beef in my drafts, and I definitely remember them talking. When I watched Alabama play, I definitely remember the announcers like making a point to talk about him. And usually like offensive linemen don't get that much coverage on TV, but you can definitely see that this guy was just, yeah, he's a great offensive lineman, protecting the quarterback, good in the run blocking. And I think that the Jets could use some beef, and I don't think you can go wrong with this pick.
Yeah, I like it. I think Jets going offensive line is smart pick by the rare smart move by the Jets, especially out of Alabama. Offensive lineman for Alabama, you can't go wrong. You don't overthink it. I don't really have anything to add. I agree. Draft, and also they drafted a tackle in the top 10 last year, I think, too, or the first round, Becton.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had any good rookie season, to be completely honest with you. It wasn't paying too much attention to the Jets offensive line, but I don't know. Yeah, keep building on the O-line for the Jets. You drafted QB last year, so you got to protect them. I like the pick.
And then number 5, the New York Giants. I don't really have a whole lot of care for New York Giants drafting because they took Saquon number 2 a few years ago, so I don't really care about the Giants, but they have them taking Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon, the defensive end, and I don't know, this guy has been like the number 1 pick since in the NFL draft like 3 years ago. If you were to type in 2022 mock drafts in 2018, this guy would be the number 1 overall pick. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of Tibbs. A lot of people on Twitter and stuff talk about his motivation to play football and his personality and stuff like that. And I kind of agree with them. I don't think I could take a guy who's not fully invested in playing and doesn't have the heart, doesn't make those hustle plays. And Tibbs, I don't know, I think he's like one of those guys his whole life who's just been so talented that he doesn't really have to, like, work for anything, I don't think. And I don't know, last year I watched Oregon play Utah football twice, and Utah football absolutely dominated Oregon on both sides of the ball. And Tibbs was just, he couldn't put any pressure on Utah's quarterback. I mean, if you can't get around Utah's offensive line, then I don't know. He's great upside, but I think his downside is too much, and I probably wouldn't take him in the top 10.
Yeah, I remember when they beat Ohio State, I'm pretty sure he was out for that game, and then they had their biggest one of the season, and then he comes back and they can't beat Stanford, they can't beat Utah with Tibbs there. He also, he's kind of a stat padder, I think he got all his sacks against like UCLA and Fresno. So I can't really I mean, I don't know. Congrats on going off against UCLA. He's a good athlete. He's a freak athlete. But I do think he's one of those guys who was like, oh, well, he was the number one recruit in high school. And, like, a year ago he was supposed to be first overall. So I guess we got to – he still should be a high pick. But, I don't know. Twitter really liked Tibbs during the season. I remember there was so many people always tweeting, like Kayvon Thibodeau is – like, I can't believe how – like, I don't know. People were always tweeting about how good Tibbs was during the season. But it was popping on my feed. All these beat reporters out on the West Coast. So I guess, I don't know. But I agree that if he doesn't care about football all that much or doesn't care about getting better, then that's a tough pick for the Giants. And the Giants can't draft. The Giants suck at drafting. So that wouldn't surprise me if whoever they take becomes a bust.
You want to talk about somebody else?
Yeah, I guess we got Sauce Gardner at 6. I personally, my opinion here on Sauce, I don't see how you can draft a corner from Cincinnati 6th overall. I don't, if you're the Jets, that just, the guy's name Sauce, I don't know. It just seems like you're just like, he didn't allow a touchdown. He beat ND. But I don't believe in Cincinnati football. I never will. I can't buy into Cincinnati football. I don't care. And Sauce Gardner, maybe he has a sick nickname. Maybe he was a beast last year in whatever conference Cincinnati plays in. But I'm not buying into Sauce Gardner, 6th overall pick, to save the New York Jets defense and save their secondary. Their secondary allowed like 10 billion yards in coverage last year. Like every single receiver in the league was going off against the Jets and every single QB was going off, which isn't surprising at all. I mean, the Jets, but I don't think Sauce Gardner is the man to save them. Maybe I'm wrong. He's got the swagger that you need, but I don't know. I'm not taking a Cincinnati guy 6th overall. It just doesn't. I don't know. I don't really believe in that. I don't know if you have any opinion on Sauce.
I like Sauce. I watched him play a lot this year. He's a true lockdown corner. And I guess if you're saying that the Jets gave up 1,000 yards in the air last year, then this pick makes a little bit of sense. And also, I think he's a better player than whoever was taken in the first round last year. Who was the guy that went to the Panthers? Some guy from Horn? J.C. Horn. Yeah, who the heck is that?
J.C. Horn's a beast. J.C. Horn tore his Achilles, I think. So his career is he's on the Okuda path. He was the Carolina Panthers are an incompetent franchise, though. So his career was over before it started, sadly.
J.C. Horn played 3 games last year.
He tore his Achilles, I think, or his knee or something.
Yeah, I think Sauce is a better pick than J.C. Horn.
All right. Well, J.C. Horn played in the SEC. Actually, no, he didn't. I don't know where he played. I can't even remember.
Yeah, he did play in the SEC. He played for South Carolina.
Yeah, J.C. Horn's an SEC ball player. I can't get behind taking a Cincinnati guy 6th overall. You take the Alabama offensive lineman 4th overall. Jets are looking great. Then we trade up with Carolina to take Sauce. What are we doing?
I think he's going to be a good pick. I think he's a good player.
All right. Moving on. I have no comment on the Giants' 2nd first round pick, offensive lineman.
Yeah, neither do I.
I do have a comment though on Matt Miller projects Drake London, wide receiver out of USC, 8th to the Atlanta Falcons. Before I say anything, do you have anything to say on Drake London?
Yeah, I think Drake's a good player. I watched him live in person when he played Notre Dame, and Notre Dame they could not stop him. And I think Drake London, I don't think he had the best QB talent in college, but he just racked up yards and catches, and I think he'll be a good player. I don't like taking wide receivers top 15, let's say, even like top 20 is a little bit of a stretch. So I honestly don't know anything about the Atlanta Falcons. Like, who is their quarterback? Do they have a quarterback?
The Atlanta Falcons. I literally can't even remember who the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, Matt Miller. Is it Marcus Mariota?
Oh, it is Mariota. Yes, yeah, they have Mariota.
I don't know if Mariota can get Drake the ball. So I don't know why we're taking a receiver who we don't have anyone to throw to him. And the Atlanta Falcons, actually, this is pretty bad back-to-back drafts. I mean, so they're going to be taking – they took Kyle Pitts last year, number 5 overall. They're going to take another skill player in the top 10 this year, and their offense still isn't going to be any good. I mean, at least the Bengals took guys like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, top 5, and at least they had a good offense. I mean, at least they scored. I mean, this team isn't going to – seems going to do anything next year with 2 top 10 picks on offense and skill positions. That makes no sense. But as for the player, I think he's a good player, but he's just going to be drafted a little too high and probably to the wrong organization.
Yeah, the Atlanta Falcons are completely incompetent. I mean, we don't need to talk too much about last year's draft, but taking a tight end, I don't care how he could be the greatest tight end in history of the league by a landslide, and taking a tight end or third overall, whatever they took him, is a complete joke with considering how bad their team was. The Atlanta Falcons are, they can't get out of their own way. What a joke. All they do is draft skill guys in the first round, and they just suck. It's awful.
And Calvin Ridley, didn't they take him in the first round?
Calvin Ridley in the first round. They had to build around Matt Ryan there. So I don't know what they had. Yeah, the Atlanta Falcons are horrible. What a joke of a franchise that is. They my opinion on Drake London, honestly, I agree. The ND game, he was good. He looked real good in college. I'm not going to say that he's a bad player. I'm not. But I will say, I've looked at the last 20 years of Pac-12 wide receivers that were all jump ball specialists in the Pac-12. And all these guys, when they were in college, I thought, at least the guys in my time, the last few years, I thought they were good players. I'm going to be honest. I thought N'Keal Harry was a beast at Arizona State. He had that unreal sideline catch. I like N'Keal Harry coming out. But the last 20 years, there's been 8 guys drafted in the Pac-12 in the first 2 rounds are these jump ball specialists that are slow, that are look like world beaters in the Pac-12. We got N'Keal Harry, bust. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, bust. Marquise Lee, bust. Reggie Williams out of Washington in 2004. Guy was the best receiver in the league. He went top 5 to the Jaguars, bust. USC Mike Williams, one of like 8 Mike Williams to be a wide receiver in the NFL the last 2 decades. He was Drake London 15 years ago. He was a 6'5" USC jump ball guy. He won the Biletnikoff, I think. Or if he didn't, he was all Pac-12 first team like twice or something like that. USC Mike Williams, bust. Damian Williams, bust. Dwayne Jarrett, bust. Teo Johnson out of Stanford, bust. All these guys are bust. You never heard of half of them because they're busts. Because they were Drake London 15 years ago. They were Drake London 5 years ago. Drake London, I think the Pac-12 is a thing where these 6'5" wide receivers that are just physical monsters against their, like, the UCLA and Washington corners of the world. They're just monsters against these guys. They go up. The Pac-12 makes them look a lot better than they actually are. And then when they get to the league, they're just too slow, can't catch. I don't know what the issue is, but they just don't succeed in the NFL for the most part. I think I do think Drake London looked really good against ND. I can't lie. He put out numbers. He seems like a good player, but there's too much precedent for me to bank on him with a top 10 pick. And now that he's going to the Falcons in this mock draft, I would put the house on Drake London to the Falcons not working out, just because Falcons plus everything I just said. So I'm worried about Drake London. I'm worried about him. And ESPN's calling him the next Mike Evans. Mike Evans was like two times the athlete this guy was. And Mike Evans made Johnny Manziel look like the greatest college QB of all time. So I don't want to hear the Mike Evans comparisons. That's bad. Mike Evans is that's not a good comparison. I can move on now. I'm done talking about Drake London, but sadly, I don't think Drake's going to work out in the league. I just can't. The Pac-12 has burned me too many times with these tall guys.
I guess we'll have to see.
Any comment on the Seahawks? Seahawks taking O lineman in this. That's a good pick. Seahawks, they got to protect Drew Lock.
I like beef.
Interesting. Next interesting pick here. We got the Carolina Panthers trading back to pick 10 with the Jets. Trading back to draft a QB. That's a new one. Any comment on Carolina Panthers trading back to draft Kenny Pickett?
Yeah. How many average quarterbacks do we need in that QB room? I mean, I would pick somebody else and just hope that Sam Darnold. Let me look up Sam Darnold. I would just hope that Sam Darnold can maybe reach some of the potential that he had. I wouldn't take like a decent college quarterback, but like Kenny Pickett's never going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Sam Darnold's in his last year of his contract, I would give him 17 games, and if he sucks, then I'll draft somebody next year because I'll have a high pick. So I would not take Kenny Pickett. I would wait to next year's draft to find a quarterback, similar to what the Lions are doing with Jared Goff. Because the Lions could probably use a long-term quarterback, but they're taking who they think is like the best positional player on the board. So I would, if I were the Panthers, I would do a similar strategy to the Lions, and I would not take just an okay college quarterback who was lighting up Virginia Tech and NC State.
Yeah, I think the QBs in this class, I was really trying hard to find somebody earlier, like really, really, really reaching to try to find like a guy that I could be like, oh, this guy's going to be a stud. This is my guy. This is QB1. And I couldn't. I did everything I could. I just can't buy into these QBs. I think they all kind of, it's just not good. I did make a ranking of my top six QBs in this draft class. Kenny Pickett comes in at number one, a reluctant number one. I like Kenny Pickett. I like his energy that he brought to the Pitt football team last year. And then that energy that I liked about him, that kind of that swag, that like, I don't know. When he skipped the bowl game, I kind of started to doubt it a little bit. But I will say, I've been thinking about a new way to think about QBs in the draft class. It's a crapshoot. Nobody knows what they're doing. But one common thread that I've seen is that guys that just progress from their freshman year to their senior year are usually have a lot more NFL success than guys that are just burst onto the scene with one good year, or guys that peak as a freshman and then kind of plateau or kind of teeter out a little bit as their college career goes on. So I looked at all the best QBs in the league right now. We've got Burrow, Herbert, Mahomes, Watson, and then to a lesser extent, Lamar. And then these guys, very borderline, but they had the same traits. And I Mac, and then Baker. Say what you want about Baker. He's the best Browns QB ever, which is kind of pathetic. Well, since like 1940. These guys all showed this constant getting better every year in college for the most part. And then you look at all the other highly drafted QBs that showed the opposite. They got worse every year. We got Sam Darnold, Christian Hackenberg, Daniel Jones, Deshaun Kaiser, Josh Rosen, and my boy, but he was a bust, let's be honest, Jameis Winston. They got worse every single year. And then all the one-year starters that went round one, really it was just Trubisky and Haskins. And then Kyler's kind of I don't really know what to think of Kyler. He's kind of weird, but Trubisky and Haskins both busts. So I'm staying away from guys that got worse every year, and I'm trying to target guys that got better every single year they were in college. And also, I'm eliminating anyone that played in a Mickey Mouse conference. So Josh Allen, Paxton Lynch, Jordan Love, and Zach Wilson. You can't even analyze that. And like Trey Lance, you can't analyze that. Carson Wentz, when they play FCS football, it doesn't make any sense. It's a crapshoot. So guys that got better that didn't play in the Mickey Mouse conference, we got Kenny Pickett and Matt Corral. Guys that got worse every year, Sam Howell and Malik Willis, but Mickey Mouse conference, so we can't analyze it. So that's why my QB rankings are Pickett 1, Corral 2. It's a reluctant 1 and 2, but that's my new logic when I look at QBs. I'm going guys that got better every year that played in non-FCS football. So Kenny Pickett, the reluctant QB1. I guess he's fast. Guess he can't really throw that far. He's got small hands, but he's a leader, I guess. He won a lot of games for Pitt as a senior. I don't know. Not a ton that I can say that is that all that great about him, but I guess he's the best on the board.
Yeah, I guess. Moving on to Washington Commanders. They are projected to take safety from Notre Dame, Kyle Hamilton. And I guess Kyle Hamilton, he's like one of the best players in the draft, but like he's falling down because he's a safety. And people say he had like a bad combine because he ran like a 4.7 or whatever. But I think he's been a great player for Notre Dame, and you can just see on the field that he's probably the best player on the field every single time he plays. And even like in the national semifinal game against Alabama, whenever Kyle Hamilton would run to one side of the field, Alabama would literally just go to the exact opposite side of the field. So they didn't even really want to throw to him. So I think, you know, he's a safety who can cover and he can tackle. So I think he's a great pick. I'm not even sure who the Commanders quarterback is.
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz. They got Carson Wentz.
Yeah, they traded like a fourth round pick for him or something like that.
I guess we need somebody because the defense is gonna be on the field for a long time. But I like the pick with Kyle Hamilton. He's got a lot of upside. I do think he might be a little injury prone because last year he did miss like the last six games. But I don't know if he was just saving himself for the 4.7 combine that he ran. But he was a really good player at Notre Dame, and I do think he would be drafted a little bit higher if he wasn't a safety.
Yeah, I agree. I think the combines, like the 40 times, are wicked overrated. The thing I look at, like Cooper Kupp, he ran like a 4.7 or something terrible at the combine. I think that's why he didn't get drafted super high. But his the NFL does that mile per hour tracking stuff now, like the GPS thing, and he's like consistently hitting these super high times for a guy his size. And you watch him play, and he's blowing by guys at times. And Kyle Hamilton's a guy that's like, oh, he ran a 4.7, he must be slow. But like, there's those highlights of him running from the opposite hash to the sideline to make a play on the ball after it's thrown. It's like the guys clearly can move well, and he's fat. He's got game speed. Yeah, and he can do everything well. He's a great player for Notre Dame. I will say, if he gets drafted by the Commanders, the training camp hype when he picks up, he's gonna get like 350 interceptions a day at training camp. People are gonna be going up, blowing up Twitter with Kyle Hamilton catching these like prayers from Wentz that aren't anywhere near anybody. He's gonna look like the greatest safety of all. Like, they're literally gonna compare him to Ed Reed after 3 weeks of training camp with the Washington Commanders. So, I guess I like the pick by Washington. The thing about Washington and Kyle Hamilton, though, Washington has all these injury issues with guys. Their medical team and whatever is supposed to be terrible. People are always complaining that all these Washington guys are always mishandled and injured. Kyle Hamilton, like you said, I definitely am a little concerned about his injuries. But, yeah, Kyle's a good player. And he's a leader. He's a great teammate. He's active with the fan base and seems like he's got, you know, he's got like a – he seems like a good guy, good character guy in your locker room. So Kyle Hamilton, good pick. I agree.
And then I guess looking at the Chiefs pick at number 13, they're taking Jameson Williams. I don't know if they're – I guess they must be trading up or – maybe that's the Dolphins pick. I don't know what this is. But they're taking Jameson Williams to replace Tyreek Hill. I guess that's just a very Chiefs pick to just take a skill guy and replace the one that they traded, I guess.
Yeah, I like Jameson Williams. I thought he was good at Alabama. He's really fast. I will say, though, there's so many people that like are just begging for this to happen, Jameson Williams to the Chiefs, just because he's the fastest receiver in the draft, and they lost Tyreek Hill. So people are like, oh, they're going to get – he's the next Tyreek Hill. But I really don't think he's anything like Tyreek Hill as a player, other than the fact that they're both fast. Tyreek Hill is like – that guy is like – He's not only is he one of the best deep threats, but he's also kind of like a running back when he has the ball. I don't really know if Jameson Williams has that trait or whatever about him. And he's not even – I don't think he's as fast as Tyreek Hill either. And he's injured right now. But I will say – I think he can kind of be like a Will Fuller in NFL, which is not – some people might look at that as a bad thing. I'm not talking about the injuries. I'm talking about fully healthy Will Fuller in his best years, at his best. He's one of the best deep threats in the league, but he can also – make plays at every level, get open against guys. I don't know if he's ever going to be like a true number one alpha superstar wideout, but I do think, especially with Mahomes throwing to him, he could be a really good wide receiver, catch a lot of touchdowns, catch a lot of deep balls, like Deshaun Jackson maybe back when he was good. But I don't think he's going to be a Tyreek Hill replacement, just straight up one for one, kind of like the Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs thing. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is like that. Because a lot of people didn't think Justin Jefferson would be that good either. But I don't know. I think the people that are comparing him to Tyreek Hill and saying that the Chiefs are going to just get, like, instantly, this guy's going to have 1,800 yards as a rookie, like Tyreek Hill. Like he's Tyreek Hill basically reincarnated for the Chiefs. I think that's a little ridiculous to put that expectation on the guy, especially coming off the injury too.
Yeah, and looking at the Eagles at 15, their mock draft says they're taking Garrett Wilson from Ohio State. Ohio State's obviously produced a lot of good wide receivers in the NFL. I guess I don't mind the Eagles taking wide receiver here because they have, like, another pick at, like, 18, and they have, like, two picks next year. So I think they have a little room to take a skill guy. I guess the last one was Jalen Reagor, and he didn't really pan out. And then Devontae Smith had a decent season last year. So I guess, I'm not a huge expert on Eagles football. I don't know if they need anybody on defense, but I think Garrett Wilson would be a good NFL player. And I guess the Eagles can also take defense or whatever three picks later.
Yeah, I like Garrett Wilson. I think my thing with Garrett Wilson, I do think, I mean, it's kind of like a stupid little nitpick, but if I was the Eagles, I'd probably take Olave over Wilson, only because I feel like Wilson's pretty similar to Devontae Smith. He's kind of like, I don't know, obviously he wasn't as productive and as good in college. He was really good, obviously. He's going to be a first-round pick for a reason, but he wasn't as productive as Devontae Smith, but I do think they play a similar game, and they're kind of like these taller, slim guys that can make plays all over the field. Whereas I feel like Olave is more of like a burner, but also can do stuff. I don't know. I think Olave complements Smith better, so I'd rather take Olave there. I like Olave a lot. Olave is my wide receiver one. Garrett Wilson's wide receiver two, but that's not much separation between those two guys for me. I think they're both really good players that, like, I have yet to hear anyone say anything really – like, if you look at a scouting report for either of them, there's not really any real negatives. It's just, like, it's people nitpicking, like, the smallest little things that don't really matter. And it seems like both of them are really good at everything that you could really ask a wide receiver to do. Garrett Wilson's a fine pick for the Eagles. That will be four straight years taking a wide receiver in the first two rounds for the Eagles, three straight in the first round. It'd be a little bit ridiculous. But I guess, it's been their biggest team need for the last 4 years, so it's not exactly all that surprising.
I guess the mock draft has Chris Olave going next to the Saints. And then this sentence here says, Olave joins former Buckeye Michael Thomas to give the Saints a dynamic duo at the position. I mean, how is that a dynamic duo? When was the last time Michael Thomas played football?
I forgot Michael Thomas right now. I don't know about that one. Michael Thomas is – that guy might have – like, literally, yeah. When's the last time he played football? I don't know what's up. And also, Michael Thomas. I don't know how you can even include that guy in your draft preview. How do they know if he's even playing, if he's even still in the NFL, or if he hasn't retired, or I don't know if he's under contract still. I don't know that's – Michael Thomas, that guy's toast probably too. He's like 30 at this point. He hasn't played in a couple of years.
Yeah, and then I guess Chris Olave also last year was going to be like a late first-round pick, but then he came back to school and obviously improved his draft position by like 10 or 15 spots. So I like when people come back to school and then improve their draft position.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, I will say, I think just because we're talking about the Saints, they like traded up for another pick in this first round this year, so they're 16 and 19. I don't think the new coach likes Jameis very much. He made it public that he tried to trade for Deshaun Watson and he didn't get him. And they extended Jameis and signed Dalton, I think Andy Dalton, but I don't think either of those two contracts are all that like. I don't think that they're completely fully attached to those two guys right there. So my prediction is the Saints are gonna trade up. I think they got those two picks so they can move up to draft a QB. That's my prediction because I don't know why they gave up a lot for that 19th pick from Philly for whatever reason. So I feel like it has to be for a QB. That's my prediction. So Dennis Allen. I don't think he likes Jameis Winston. So. I don't think they're going to get a dynamic duo, sadly, for Jameis. I think they're going to get a replacement instead.
I would be in favor of that. Not a big Jameis fan. I guess the next pick for the Chargers is defensive tackle Jordan Davis from Georgia. All I know is that this guy is absolutely massive. So I think he's going to be a good nose tackle in the NFL. So I like this pick. Then they have the Eagles taking some guy from Michigan on defense. Don't need to really talk about him. And then the Steelers at number 20 taking Malik Willis. I guess I don't know a whole heck of a lot about Malik Willis other than he played for Liberty and he's always been like a projected first round pick, even like going back to last offseason. I guess Pittsburgh does need a quarterback and in the division that they're in. Like the Browns now have Deshaun and Bengals have Joe Burrow and Ravens have Lamar. So the Steelers are going to have the worst quarterback in the division. So I guess hopefully to replace Big Ben, the Steelers can find someone good in the draft, but we also said that quarterbacks in the draft aren't that great, so I'm not sure what other options Steelers have. I mean, they have a pretty decent team everywhere else, so I guess just take your shot at the best quarterback on the board whenever your pick comes around.
Yeah, I feel like for QBs, a lot of it's like where they land, the atmosphere and the team around them and the coach that they land. So I feel like Malik Willis, looking at everything about him, seems like he's had some of his highlights are like nobody else in college football is doing what he's doing with some of those highlight plays. But he played against some real bad teams at Liberty. He won a lot of games, but good teams. Malik Willis wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire. And his stats aren't great. He threw some bad, but he had some real bad lowlights, like some really inaccurate deep balls that just completely missed. But everyone says that he has like crazy potential. He's a freak athlete. I guess he can throw the ball really far. He's fast. He's big. So I don't know. Maybe he's kind of like, I don't want to say that he's the next Josh Allen, but I guess you kind of draft him because of the success of guys like Josh Allen. It's just like, they got these physical tools and you hope to mold them over the next few years. And I guess Steelers are a great place for that to happen. It's a good environment to land in. So I feel like if a guy like Malik Willis lands in Pittsburgh, it's a good landing spot for him. Like I said, I did my QB ranks and he got worse every year. He started at Liberty for 2 years and he got worse this year compared to last year, which I said I'm kind of trying to stay away from. I also did say that I don't really take into account anything that happens in these fake conferences, these like FCS conferences, because it's really impossible to judge. It seems like so, but I have him ranked like fifth of all my QBs. But if he lands in Pittsburgh, I feel like he'll be successful just because he's wicked talented and Pittsburgh's a good place to land. If he landed in like with the Washington Commanders, I'd be worried about him quite a bit. But if he lands in Pittsburgh, I think he's in a good spot.
Yeah, and then I guess moving on to the Patriots at 21, they're taking a cornerback from Clemson, Andrew Booth Jr. I guess for the Patriots, I do think they need somebody on defense because I think there's more needs on defense than there are on offense, or at least I think the offensive needs are easier to make up in other ways, like free agency or a trade or just finding a random guy who can just catch balls or whatever. So I think they did lose J.C. Jackson, so I do think they could use a cornerback here. And I guess Andrew Booth is a pick. I don't know who you want the Patriots to take this year.
I'm hoping the Patriots just take defense, offensive line for like every single pick. You don't need a QB. You don't need skill positions. And a lot of people think the Patriots need a receiver. A receiver would be fun, but I think Devontae Parker – which is a great sign. I think a big body that can get downfield, catch balls, jump balls, and catch balls on the sideline is exactly what they needed. So I love that trade or signing, whatever it was, trade. And then I think Bourne and Myers are fine complementary pieces. And obviously you're paying both the tight ends a crap ton of money. You're not drafting a tight end. The running back room, maybe you need like a new third down back. You can get that in like round 7. So I just think like a long-term James White replacement. But I just think defense, like linebacker, defensive tackle, corner, and offensive line are the needs for the team this year. So, yeah, I guess I can't hate taking the corner out of Clemson, although Clemson kind of sucked this year. I did not watch Andrew Booth Jr. play. Have not paid attention to Andrew Booth Jr. I'm not going to pretend like I know if this guy's any good. I would definitely – but, yeah, I mean, if we're drafting Alabama and Georgia defensive linemen and linebackers and guards, I'm happy with it. So yeah, that's what I want in corner. I guess I don't really know who's playing corner on the outside for the Pats next year. So yeah, I guess you got to draft one around one. Maybe Sauce falls and we can trade up for Sauce. Who knows? But yeah, I can't hate on Andrew Booth Jr. too much. I guess big school. Apparently, according to Matt Miller, he's pretty good.
And then I guess I'm just gonna start jumping around this mock draft. So Green Bay Packers, number 28, they're taking Treylon Burks. I guess they do need a receiver after they traded away Devontae Adams. I did watch a lot of Arkansas football this year, and this guy was a really good player. He kind of carried the program to however many wins they had. It was like 8 wins or something. And he had like a huge game against Alabama. I'm going to look up the stats right now, but you make fun of people in the Pac-12 for – mossing Washington or whatever. And I don't know, it doesn't get much harder than Alabama on the road. And he had 8 catches, 179 yards, and 2 touchdowns with some guy named KJ Jefferson throwing him the football. So I think this guy's a good player, and it seems like he competes too. He had a great compete level, and I think he's going to be a good NFL player. So I do like this pick this late in the draft. And, yeah, I would take receivers in this part of the draft. I wouldn't take this guy 8 overall like the Falcons will. But I like this pick, and I think he had a great year with, again, Arkansas doesn't – it's not QBU. So he definitely – he's building up that Arkansas program, and now I think this will be a good pick for the Packers, for him, and for Arkansas to get more recognition.
Yeah, I agree. I think I remember watching Arkansas at Alabama, and they were force feeding him the ball, and he was making plays with it. He's like good after the catch with it. I remember he was breaking a lot of tackles, and they give him handoffs and like reverses too, and screen a lot of screen passes, because he's like this big guy, but he can move well. I don't really know who to I. Like, I've seen some people compare him to A.J. Brown, which I think is a little ridiculous. I don't really – and I also don't know how similar they actually are than the fact that they're kind of same – built the same. But I don't think they play all that similar. I would say, like, if – like, Juju at his best without a TikTok account is what I would call Treylon Burks. I think he's like, this big guy that can catch a lot of passes underneath. But he's also a little bit faster than Juju. He can break a lot of tackles. And yeah, he produced in the SEC against the best of the best, and he showed up in the big games. Yeah, he's the type of prospect that if I was a GM, I would like, definitely more so than like these Pac-12 guys. So yeah, I like the pick, especially if he's going 20 picks after Drake London. Then I think that's a steal for Green Bay. Yeah, I can't hate on Green Bay draft. I think it's a good replacement for them. For obviously, he's not Devontae Adams, but he's going to be Aaron Rodgers' wide receiver one, I would assume. As a rookie, that's a pretty good spot to be if he does get drafted by the Packers. So I would expect a lot of success for him right away.
All right, I guess you want to go through some busts and sleepers?
Yeah, I got a couple sleepers I want to mention. First up, I got Georgia. I got a couple of Georgia guys. Those are my two sleepers this year. Actually, I got a few more, but you probably want to talk about those guys too that I'm going to talk about. But you got Georgia offensive lineman Jamari Sawyer. He's projected to be a second round or third round pick. He played all five positions for Georgia over the last 4 years or 3 years. He allowed just 2 sacks as a senior, even though they had him rotating throughout the offensive line to fill in holes they needed depending on injuries and stuff. He's a multi-year starter for Georgia. He started the last 3 years. He was a captain. He was named to the All-SEC team. And he was the guy that they had matched up with Aiden Hutchinson one-on-one in the national semifinal when Aiden Hutchinson went completely ghost mode and did nothing and got there's some good highlights of Jamari, my boy, standing up Hutchinson in that game. And he's not getting any draft hype because he's short. So people are saying he has to play guard when he gets to the NFL, but he's a decent athlete and he's pretty big, like wide and built. And I mean, there's not every single tackle in the NFL is 6'9". So I think it's a little ridiculous that people say he can't play tackle in the NFL, especially because if he's standing up the number one overall pick defensive end in the biggest game of his career, I don't know. But his versatility, I mean, NFL coaches always talk about how they want versatile linemen. So I think Sawyer's going to be a steal, and I hope the Patriots draft him just because Belichick loves guys like that. He loves Georgia O-linemen. He loves captains from the SEC, and he loves versatile O-linemen. And he's a big guy. He's sturdy. People compare him a little bit to Isaiah Wynn, but Wynn has durability issues and stuff like that. I don't think he had played guard that much coming out. This guy legit has played every single position on the O-line. Considerable snaps, so I think he needs to be talked about a little bit more. And my other guy, another Georgia guy, is Channing Tindall. He's a middle linebacker out of Georgia. He played alongside N'Kobe Dean this year. He's going to be probably a first-round pick. He's a great athlete. He was really good at the combine and all that. When you watch him play, he's in the national championship game, he's fast, he's strong, he's pretty tall. He's a multi-year starter for Georgia. He had a lot of production. He plays on special teams. And he played well in the national championship game and national semifinal. And I don't know why you wouldn't draft a guy who started for the best defense in college football 2 years in a row in a central role, and a guy that can play on special teams for you, worst case scenario. NFL coaches love that. And he's going like round 3 or 4, I think, or round 2 or 3. I'm not really sure. But I think he's a sleeper, and I think he'll be really good for whatever team drafts him. That's another guy. You look at the scouting reports and people can't really say a lot of bad things about him, but for some reason he's not going that high. And so I never get that when I read scouting reports like that, where the guy's just a solid all around player, but it's, I guess, a middle linebacker gets overshadowed by other guys on the team. So I think he kind of can fall a little bit because of that. So, yeah, Jamari Sawyer and Channing Taylor are my two big sleepers. I don't know if you have any sleepers.
I'm going to bust. I'm just going to go based off this mock draft. Number 31 to the Cincinnati Bengals would be Travis Jones, defensive tackle from UConn. I think all I have to say is defensive tackle from UConn, and I'll move on to the next player. do not understand that. Then the Houston Texans, number 37 overall, they're taking Breece Hall from Iowa State. I mean, come on. This guy has so much miles on the clock. He's been at Iowa State for like 6 years. So you're going to take a running back who's already been tackled a million times, and he's not even like that fast. He's just a good college running back because he's playing against Kansas State and Kansas. I mean, Iowa State was supposed to be a great team this year. They really weren't that good. And whenever you watch Breece Hall play, he's okay this year. I mean, I think he was like a dark horse Heisman candidate, and he wasn't even that good. He definitely isn't under the category of guys who got better each year. And I don't know. He was much better 2 years ago, and I don't understand how the Houston Texans are taking a number. You can literally find Breece Hall anywhere, and you're taking him number 37 overall, and he's not even like a – I don't know. He's not a big-time recruit out of high school. He's not like a big-time SEC running back. He's just Breece Hall, six-year guy from Iowa State. I mean, I don't like that pick at all. And then the other pick that stood out to me was first pick in the third round. The Jaguars are taking wide receiver Alec Pierce from Cincinnati. I mean, this guy, I don't know. He's a big slot receiver. He's no good. He's just catching balls against Tulsa. And he's not that fast. I just don't like this player at all. He's just a jump ball guy in the AAC, catching balls from Desmond Ridder. I mean, I just don't like this pick. I don't like this player at all. He's very annoying when Notre Dame played him, and I just don't think he has any speed. He doesn't have any upside. I mean, at least there's got to be a lot of wide receivers in the third round who you can take with a little bit of upside. This guy has no upside. The Jags are just going to take a guy just to throw fade. I don't like this pick.
Yeah, I got a couple busts myself. First up, I got quarterback Sam Howell from UNC. If anyone falls into the category of regressed every single year he was in college, like a la Darnolds and Hackenbergs of the world, it was this guy. He played like 40-something games for UNC, and people hyped him up as a Heisman candidate every year, and every single year he'd win like 8 games and kind of just not put up the numbers that people thought he would, and he wouldn't win Heisman. And he got worse every single year. I guess you can say senior year he had young receivers or something. I don't know. I mean, it's not that hard to put up good stats in the ACC, I feel like. Whatever. But Sam Howell, he got worse every single year. Against ND, every time he didn't stand out to me in any way at all. Every single year he'd get hyped up as a superstar in September. And every single year in January, nobody's talking about Sam Howell. So, I don't know. I think there's a reason for that. I think Sam Howell, I don't really know where he's going to get drafted. I believe ESPN has him somewhere in round two. I think 60-something overall maybe, so early round three. But some people have him going in the first round. I mean, a year ago he was supposed to go top five. So I just don't think Sam Howell is all that good. He reminds me actually similar to like Matt Barkley, where he was a guy that people are like, oh, this guy's going to be first overall. This guy's one of the Heisman. He just never actually played well enough to be considered for that. It's more hype than anything, and just putting up some good numbers in September against bad teams occasionally. So I'm not a Sam Howell guy. And my other bust is tight end Trey McBride out of Colorado State. So Trey McBride, I really don't know where the draft hype is coming for this guy. He's not good at anything. I've looked up scouting reports from him, read many articles to try to find what people like so much about him. And I remember I can't find this for whatever reason, but a few months ago I sent you a Trey McBride scouting report that I found that literally, legitimately called him a first-round pick and then proceeded to give him no positives and said he can't catch, he's not fast, he can't run routes, he's short, he didn't catch any touchdowns last year, and he's not a good blocker. For his negatives, every single thing you want your tight end to do, this guy's not good at. You read a scouting report of him, and he's solid at a lot of things, but he's not great at anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's not athletic. He's not big. He played Colorado State. I don't even know who does Colorado State even play against. I literally have no idea. I don't know who they play or what conference they're in. He's not a very good blocker. People say that he like tries hard when he blocks, but he's too small and he's not good at it. So it doesn't matter. His hands are average, I guess. It doesn't make any sense. He's not like, I think like this guy's ceiling in the NFL is like, I don't know, a poor man's Dallas Goedert. I don't even know what to call him. He's just not very good. So I don't really understand why anyone would spend a high premium pick on Trey McBride. But apparently Trey McBride is going to be the number one tight end taken and could be a first round pick. So stay away from Trey McBride if I'm an NFL GM. It just doesn't make sense. He had good numbers, but that doesn't really matter when you're playing at Colorado State. And he didn't have he only had one touchdown, so I don't think his numbers were even all that good. I think those are a little overrated. Any other busts or sleepers for you? We'll say in your Breece Hall thing, I agree. I wouldn't draft a running back, period. I think drafting running backs is dumb before like the fifth round, which gives me my last two sleepers are both running backs that I think someone's going to draft in like round five and they're going to have a good player for 5 years.
Yeah. Breece Hall, I guess he's only played 3 years, but yeah, last year I don't think he was very good. Let's see. I guess this mock draft has the Bears taking a. So the Bears are a bad football team, and they have no first-round picks, so that's not very good. And then the 39th overall pick, we're taking a guy named Christian Watson from North Dakota State.
I think he's a bust. I'm on that train. I agree.
I think we're taking him because he ran a 4.3 combine.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not a good pick, especially when you have no first-round picks.
Yeah, I agree with that. This guy, Christian Watson, so he played at North Dakota State, which I've said on this podcast many times, I will never, if I was an NFL GM, I would stand as far away as physically possible from any prospect at a North Dakota State. I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. Carson Wentz, that guy's terrible. Trey Lance, that guy's trash. I don't even know what else North Dakota State, but they're an FCS super team. They play against these guys who, I mean, after the games, they have to go home and help their dad on the farm and like up in North Dakota. I don't even know what they do or who they're playing against, but I don't believe in North Dakota State football as NFL prospects. I think that's I don't know. It's just kind of a joke that how dominant they are against these other teams, and it's kind of stupid. I mean, and this guy Christian Watson, you look up like people like write scouting reports, whatever, that actually watch this North Dakota State film, which God bless those people. I'm sorry for you, but he literally he's like, I don't think he has very good hands. He can't run routes. He's not agile. He has no lateral movement ability, but he's tall and fast. I don't think he's even that big. I don't know if he can jump that high. He's just tall and fast. He can run in a straight line really fast. He's a track guy. And historically, there's been a couple hits, but all the guys that were like the Randy Mosses, Calvin Johnsons, DK Metcalfs, those guys were monsters in college playing against outside of, I mean, I don't know. They were amazing. Like Randy Moss, one of the best college players ever. Calvin Johnson, I think he almost won Heisman at Georgia Tech or something like that. DK Metcalf was balling at Ole Miss. Like these tall, fast guys, for the most part, are trash in the NFL, other than if they're dominant, truly dominant players in college. And Christian Watson out of North Dakota State is certainly not that. So I agree, he's a bust. I'm not on board with Christian Watson to the Bears. That's tough for my boy Fields. That's real tough.
Yeah, then the Seahawks at 41 taking David Ajabo from Michigan. I guess he tore his Achilles, but, I mean, I kind of like this pick because him and Hutchinson were really good at Michigan, and you're taking him, like, 39 picks apart. So, I like that pick. Then, scrolling down, I guess you're going to talk about some running. Oh, number 78 to the Cleveland Browns, DeVarvin Leal from Texas A&M. I watched a little bit of Texas A&M this year. He was really good. And I don't know why he's falling down so far. He's a projected first-round pick before the season started, so I see a lot of upside with him. And then some running backs. I guess 87 to the Cardinals would be Isaiah Spiller. He was pretty good on Texas A&M as well. I like him. And then Buffalo Bills, 89, taking James Cook, which is Dalvin Cook's brother. I like James Cook. So I think there's a lot of running backs down here that are a lot better than Breece Hall from big-time programs. And then in, like, the start of the fifth round, the Panthers are taking Brian Robinson from Alabama. So I don't see how Breece – I don't know why Breece Hall is going 37 with these true SEC running backs going in the late third round, early fifth round.
Yeah, I agree. I got my running backs. Already said two of them. I got James Cook as one of my sleepers out of Georgia. Dalvin Cook's little brother. He's not as big as Dalvin Cook. He's small and he's wicked fast though. But they split him out wide a bunch to play a receiver, and he was making these nasty deep catches down the field. He's a playmaker. He's explosive. He's fast. He makes these electric big plays. So I think James Cook at worst could be a beast, like as a third down back in the NFL, just like third down specialist. So I think, I think the Pats could it'd be a great fit for the Pats as like the long-term James White replacement, I guess. And then my other guy, one of my other guys is also Brian Robinson out of Bama. I think these Bama running backs sometimes, like they're just – Brian Robinson's so just solid, just a good run. Like you watch him play, just hits the hole to get you the yards that you need, maybe break a couple tackles. He'll make some plays. He can block, he can catch. Like he's just a solid, good size NFL type, solid starting running back. And if you're getting him like round six, he'd be a great backup running back, I think. It's kind of like Damian Harris coming out, I feel like, where it's just like nobody cared about Damian Harris because he's not that flashy. But there's Alabama's getting five-star running backs every single year, and these guys are getting the majority of the carries for them for a reason. That they're good players, and I don't think you can sleep on Alabama running backs. So, I like Brian Robinson a lot. And then my last guy is Kyren Williams out of ND. This mock draft has him projected going in the sixth round. Kyren's small, and he's slow, but I don't think that matters, especially if he's going to be a third down guy in the NFL just because of his size. But he can play, but he can run between the tackles. He's not one-dimensional, but he can catch. He can make plays. He breaks tackles. I think Kyren's getting slept on. I think the 40 time for running backs doesn't matter all that much. I mean, I don't really think the 40 time – how many times does a running back break a long run in the NFL anyway? It doesn't happen all that often. I just think Kyren can get you those solid yards, be a good contributor for a team as a complimentary running back, and like a timeshare thing going on. And I think round six, I would take Kyren around six over Breece Hall in round two or whatever any day of the week, no doubt. I don't know if you have any thoughts on Kyren. We both watched a lot of Kyren Williams over the last couple of years.
Yeah, he's a great player. He has a lot of heart. I guess I just wonder if he has too many touches on him. I think he got the ball so much. Yeah. That could be his only down. My last player evaluation would be a bust at the end of the fifth round. And, yes, a bust at the end of the fifth round is possible when you are taking Kevin Austin Jr. from Notre Dame. He is absolutely terrible. One of the worst football players I have ever seen. And all you have to do is pop in the film against Cincinnati, and Sauce Gardner locked him down so bad. It was insane. He couldn't create any separation. He just got pressed the whole game. He was literally in his pocket the whole game. So, yeah, Kevin Austin Jr., and he's also injured every single year, but when he's not injured, he's on the field doing absolutely nothing. So I think this guy is not worth a draft pick. I would trade the pick for two sixth-round picks the following year, or I would take somebody else. I would do anything other than take Kevin Austin Jr. at the end of the fifth round from the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I agree with that. Kevin Austin Jr., longtime hater. That guy is the definition of, like, combine hero, similar to Miles Boykin, but he Miles Boykin was a lot better than Kevin Austin was even on the field. He's just not that good at football. He can't get open. He doesn't have good hands. He'll make one jump ball catch against Fresno like once a year, and the ND Twitter will go nuts saying this guy's he's been in college for like 5 years. Kevin Austin stinks. I don't even know how he's on this mock draft. I don't think Matt Miller has watched Kevin Austin play. I think he bought into the combine hype and just he's all in. As someone who's watched a lot of Kevin Austin, he's not good. Moving up a couple picks from Kevin Austin, 171 overall, the Green Bay Packers like Carson Strong out of Nevada. I think that's an amazing pick for the Green Bay Packers. Carson Strong, he did play in a fake conference at Nevada. I will say that as a disclaimer. But this guy is the definition of improving every single year. He can't. He's a slow QB. He doesn't get a lot of hype because people are obsessed with QBs that can move now. And Carson Strong, kind of a statue. But this guy, he's a 3-year starter in the Mountain West Conference. He threw for 4,000 yards, 36 touchdowns, 8 picks last year. He's an absolute gunslinger. He's a cannon on him, like legit cannon. He's 6'4". I And I do think, I believe he was playing through an injury last year. I wish I could remember what the injury was, but I saw at the Senior Bowl or something like that. They were saying that he was playing through an injury, or whatever, Shrine Bowl, whatever he's playing at. Yeah, I think Carson Strong is getting slept on. There's no way Carson Strong is that much worse of a prospect than the rest of these random average QBs that you're taking, that people are taking in the first round in this. He has the production. He has the arm strength. I don't really care that he can't run. I don't particularly love QBs that scramble in the pocket anyway. I want my guy that will just drop back and make the throw. And Carson Strong is the definition of guy that will just five steps, step forward, sling it to your wide receiver, get the ball to the playmaker. So I think the Green Bay Packers taking Carson Strong to compete with Jordan Love to be the long-term Rodgers replacement is a great pick. And then, yeah, I don't really – do you like – I know you like Sky Moore. Do you have any comments on Sky Moore?
I like his name.
That's it? Sky Moore, I think he put up some good numbers, but I think he's playing at, like, Western Michigan or something like that. So I'm not sure if I can buy into that in the first round. Oh, another guy I like Wandale Robinson out of Kentucky. He's, like, 5'5 or something like that. But people are – so Rondale Moore last year goes in the second round and gets a ton of hype as this little wicked small guy that breaks a ton of tackles and makes all these plays after the catch. But Rondale Moore hadn't even played in, like, 2 years. And I think that was part of the reason why he wasn't exactly great as a rookie. I think Wandale has been – he's gotten better all 3 years of school. Wandale's a good player, electric to watch. He also can make plays down the field too. He's not just like this one-dimensional screen guy. I had Wandale on my fantasy team. He put up some big numbers for me. So I'm a big fan of his. I think he's going in like round four or something like that just because he's tiny. But yeah, this draft, I'm going to be honest, I think the talent level in terms of offensive skill position guys is just not where it's been the past couple of years. Those are my only other comments in this draft. It's like, if my number one receiver is Olave, I don't think Olave, I think Eli Moore is better than Olave as a prospect. And Eli Moore went in the second round last year. And then the running backs, like Breece Hall is the number one running back. Come on, Iowa State, and the QBs already talked about are just – the QB class is scary bad. I really didn't want to believe that. I was hoping that Kenny Pickett or Malik would just, like, emerge for me, but Carson Strong is my favorite QB in the class, I think, and Carson Strong is projected in the fifth round, so I feel like that says a lot. Another wide – last guy that I really like as a wide receiver I like, Jalen Tolbert out of South Alabama. Jalen Tolbert has speed and elite route running and production, and people compare him to Stephon Diggs. So I'm on board with Jalen Tolbert. He's a good player. South Alabama, watch the film. The Buffalo Bills are predicted to take him 57th overall, actually, speaking of Stephon Diggs. So that's one of my final sleepers I'll give is Jalen Tolbert. I think Jalen Tolbert's a good wide receiver. And I think if Jalen Tolbert is going 57th overall, and Drake London is going 8th overall, I think Jalen Tolbert's a steal. But yeah, it's pretty much all my draft analysis that I can give here. I don't have a ton left.
Yeah, I think I'm all set.
All right. Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune into the next episode of the Biased Opinion Podcast. We'll tweet on at @biased_opinion every time we have a new episode out. But yeah, thanks for listening, and I guess we'll be back next draft with another draft preview. Always love making this episode, and our bust picks are gonna hit again, because best bust predictors in the history of media. Thanks for listening.